Hello and welcome to the only baseball podcast in the entire world that started recording with 7 days left in the baseball season. No time like the present, my friends. I'm Jake Mintz. That is Jordan Schusterman. We are the Cespedes Family Barbecue, and we are unbelievably amped to be back recording a podcast. Jordan, good morning.
Oh, what a pleasure. This is the Baseball Barbacast. It is an honor and a privilege to be joined by you here on this holy Zoom to talk about Major League Baseball. I am so excited to be back, and I love that the people on Twitter were like, wow, this is great, just in time for the postseason. It's like, was this the plan? Maybe not. We'll get to all that at the end of the show. The point is that we are back recording a Major League Baseball podcast, and we could not be more excited. There's obviously a lot of baseball to get to. We are going to review every day of the season in painstaking detail just to make sure we catch you guys up. No, of course, we're not going to do that. We're going to dive right into all this stuff. But before we get there, it feels like we should probably talk about like who we are, because there are probably some people tapping in. Like, what's this thing? What's this baseball barbacast? What is going on here? And so we're going to address those folks first.
Here's what you need to know. All right. First of all, this is the Baseball Barbacast. We used to have the Cespedes Family Barbacast, and then we had Baseball Barbecue. So yes, we're running out of names, but just so you know, this is different. The email for the show, and we want your emails. We want people to contact us. We want a lot of interaction. We felt like that's something that we frankly sucked at on our last show. You can email us at baseballbarbacast@gmail.com. That is B-A-R-B-C-A-S-T. That's the first thing. The second thing is we have a new home. Jordan, I didn't even have to buy it. You know, housing prices these days are off the charts, especially where I live in New York. But we found a new home for the cheap.
Yes.
Here at SiriusXM.
And that is the SiriusXM Podcast Network. We're super excited to be joining them. Of course, adjacent to the MLB Network radio family, our good friends, you know, Mike Farron, Jim Duquette over there. Just super excited to have a stable place that we can really build a show. And that's a big part of why we ended up with Sirius. And we'll talk a little bit about more about that later. But so that's what this pod is. That's what it's called. That's where it is. But who are we? Who are we, Jake? We should probably, again, introduce or reintroduce ourselves, I guess, to the people that maybe have forgotten since we haven't podcasted in so long.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm Jake. And that's Jordan. And we went to middle school and synagogue together. And that's, you know, like all great duos, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Cheech and Chong, you know, DeGrom and Scherzer. You meet at synagogue. That's where you
meet. In middle school.
In middle school. And so that's the case with us. In high school, we started a very mediocre website, a WordPress called Cespedes Family Barbecue, named after Ioannis Cespedes. We'll explain the video in a second. We rode that to incredible fame and high heights. We
so many dozens of page views that launched our career. Yes, we went to different colleges, but we started a podcast back then. That's what we really got into the podcasting game, the OG Barbacast.
I played baseball in college. Jordan played himself.
Yes, all 4 years. I was just playing myself over and over. But yes, so, you know, we'll have plenty of references to Jake's illustrious Division III baseball playing career. But yeah, so we did that for in college, and then we were fortunate enough to get hired by MLB after school. Went work for MLB.com and the Cut 4 part of their website. And then after that, we stopped doing our podcast. So that was like, they were like, sorry, guys, we got enough for you to do. No podcast for you. And like, oh, that's fine. We have a job in baseball. We're not going to complain too much. And so we were there for a couple years. And then we complained too much, and then we left. Then we had a show called Change Up on DAZN for a year. And then we got a podcast with The Ringer called Baseball Barbecue. We did that. And then last season, we joined the good folks at Fox Sports, where we are still now writing about baseball multiple times a week. You can see our actual words. If you're listening to this, you'd be like, these guys' voices are terrible. Good news, you can just read our words if you still like us that much. Foxsports.com is where you can find most of our work. And then that brings us mostly to today.
The name. Oh, what's the name about? When Jordan and I started this whole thing like almost a decade ago, we never thought we would have to explain the name to anybody, and now this year I've explained it to multiple all-stars, multiple MLB general managers, and I've explained it to my grandma multiple times. And I'm now going to explain it to you. Yoenis Céspedes, you've heard of him. I hope if you haven't, famous Cuban baseball player, defects from Cuba, comes and establishes residency in the Dominican Republic, makes a highlight tape. His highlight tape is 20 minutes instead of three. It has him lifting weights and running shirtless and dancing with former Packers running back Amon Green. And of course, has him roasting a pig over an open spit at what we later learned was his birthday party. We were two Jewish kids in high school and thought it was the greatest thing we'd ever seen. And that's it. And now we're here.
Yes.
And you're listening to
us. We were like, wow, that's a famous, cool baseball player doing a funny, interesting thing, which has generally been kind of our mantra of what we like to talk about over the last decade.
Bingo.
And so he's certainly given us plenty to talk about. And we're actually getting to talk about Céspedes a little bit later on in this episode when we get to our email segment. But yeah, that's the rundown. Now, what can you expect on this show? What will the Baseball Barbacast be about? Now, generally, if you've listened to us before, you kind of know what the deal is, right? We are trying to have a good time, right? That was always the thing with the Barbacast, baseball barbecue, whatever, is that baseball is a game. We think it is a hilarious game, an entertaining game, a wonderful game, all those things, right? And so that's the thing, is we are just trying to have conversations that are going to be enjoyable for us and enjoyable for you to listen to. We are not going to give you the best analysis in the world. Now, that said, if there is something that's changed over the last 10 years, it's that we have actually been fortunate enough to be around baseball a lot and in turn actually gain a good amount of insight. And so we hope that we can also provide the listeners some actual, like, interesting things into the game.
10 years ago, we were just dodos in college making jokes about, like, players, you know, penises. And yes. and now I'm in a clubhouse 5 days a week. And, like,
right.
That's called personal growth. Just so
and
people
know.
And
professional growth, I would say.
And professional both. Growth. Professional and personal that. Growth. And here we are, and we hope that you enjoy it. And the last thing I want you to know, is that this show, you know, there are a lot of podcasts and shows and radio shows out there that claim to be unfiltered. The truth. We're going to be filtered. Filters are important. Okay. You listening to this, your air in where you live is filtered. Your water is filtered. Your car, the gas in it, I believe, is filtered. If you don't filter stuff, you get cholera. Okay.
We don't want that for you.
We don't want audio cholera in your ears. No. Okay. We're not trying to give you the truth. Or, like, say it like it is. Okay, we're just going to talk about baseball, and we hope you enjoy it. Anything else, Jordan, before we talk about
Aaron Judge? No, I think that's it. Again, we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, our hiatus of pod at the end of the episode, as well as just kind of introduce, you know, our newest member. But you're here and you're listening to this because it is a baseball podcast, and the baseball season, there are a lot of interesting things happening, including one that happened last night.
Did you see the home run in the Blue Jays-Yankees game last night, Jordan? Danny Jansen, 14th of the year, off Gerrit Cole. Pretty impressive season from Toronto backstop.
Gerrit Cole has allowed, I think, 61 home runs this year. At least it feels like it.
Is that why Roger Maris Jr. was at the game last night?
Yes. He sure does give him up. But no, let's talk about Mr. Aaron Judge. Jake, when we started, you know, planning this inaugural episode recently, it was like, oh, how's this going to line up with Judge 61? Well, here it is. We just got it last night as we record this on Thursday morning. You can open up your home run leaderboard of your choice and see a big old 6-1 at the top. Aaron Judge, miles ahead of the next contender, Kyle Schwarber. And most importantly, of course, tying Mr. Roger Maris for the American League record. All right. So, first of all, let's talk about the actual home run. I'm very glad that it was a ridiculous 117 mile an hour, like Aaron Judge, you know, rocket. this was a perfect, you can imagine he was letting, not that hitting 117 is that uncommon for him, but you could imagine he was really letting it all out. A 3-2 generally meatball from Tim Mesa just completely launched over the left field wall. What was your initial reaction to the actual homer?
So I did not see it live. I am willing to admit I have been on Judge Watch for Fox Sports. I was not last night. I was on a phone call for the Harlem Little League Board of Directors that I just joined, Humblebrag, and I missed it. I missed the call, and I finished the call and looked at my text, and I had one from my mom. And that's how I felt.
Oh, your mom. Your mom let you know.
Yeah, my mom was hip to it.
Oh, that's great. Wow. So, you know, I was not on a very, that's, now you're making my evening sound less interesting. I was not watching baseball. I was actually taking a little break. I was playing some GeoGuessr. I've gotten really into GeoGuessr. I don't know if you're familiar you are with that. And then I just opened Twitter, and then it was one of those things where it was just like, you know, when you click see new tweets, and then when you click it, every tweet is the same thing. That's kind of my experience. Yeah. And then I went back and watched it.
So I guess you can't trust us because neither of us saw it live. Oh, wait, it doesn't actually matter. The home run itself, like you said, was great. I love that he hit it into the bullpen and not the stands. I was worried when I first saw it off the bat that someone in the front row was going to like tumble, like, you know, fall, 20 right. feet into the bullpen trying to catch mm-hmm. it. Hample would have. And Judge rounding the bases, like the Maris family, or, you know, Maris Jr. being there. It was all, I think it was about as good as it could have gone, except for the fact that it was in Toronto and not in New York, which I'm sure is a bit of a bummer. He'll have the That's chance where, to hit 62 there.
Miggy's 500th was there, right? So Toronto's been having a nice little run of milestone homers there. We have to talk about the fan that almost caught it. Did you see the yeah. fan, what the fan was named? The oh, you didn't see this. You didn't see
I
this.
Saw him try and catch it. I didn't see his name.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so glad I get to reveal this to you. This is incredible. Oh my, this is what an opportunity. Okay, don't look this up. I know you're listening. Like, oh, this is great. This is a genuine reaction. We did not plan this, everybody. Now, my favorite thing about this is that
is his name like Professor Poopy Pants or something?
This guy's name is the most Yankees fan name I've ever seen. Except he is a restaurant owner and Blue Jays fan in Toronto. Who was wearing a Blue Jays, I believe a Vlad Jr. jersey.
No way. His name is Frankie Lasagna? That's not his given name. That's like an Action Bronson pseudonym.
Oh, do you think that's like his restaurant stage name?
There's no way his given name is Frankie Lasagna.
I think it is. I think it's Frankie Lasagna. I remember when I used to play FIFA, there was a player named Kevin Lasagna that I always got in my franchise mode. And that's when I first was opened up to the possibility that people could be named Lasagna. Yeah. And now when I opened this, I was like, hell yes, Frankie Lasagna. So it's like, hey, Frankie Lasagna owns an Italian restaurant in Toronto. We almost got Judge 61. It's amazing. Yeah, I'm glad I got to reveal that to you.
Frankie Lasagna. Franklin Pasta. Frank Pasta. Yeah. Dude.
Anyway, so I just had to mention that.
This guy, does he automatically get like the key to the city of New York? If he catches the ball, he's like gets to be mayor for a day. This so is the brand said, that Eric Adams is talking about. Frankie Lasagna catches Aaron Judge's 61st.
Well, in this story, this is on one of the Canadian newspapers, he says at the end, I would have held on to it for as long as I could to negotiate. Maybe get Judge to try to come to the restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a crazy ask. I feel like Judge would probably do that.
I mean, who knows? Maybe Donatello Baked Ziti will catch the 62nd home run.
Yes. Well, I want to get to the 62nd home run in a second. Okay. So what do you want to talk about next here? Because there's a lot of different layers. Because his name is Frankie Lasagna. To this home run.
Nice.
And do you want to talk about Roger Maris Jr.? Do you want to talk about 61 home runs?
Let's talk about 61 home runs. Let's talk about 61 home runs. So for those of you who don't know, the record for the most home runs ever hit in a single season in Major League Baseball is 73. That was hit by a guy named Barrel Bonds in 2001. Yeah. Now, both that record and the home runs hit by Samuel Sosa and Maguire in 1998 come under somewhat dispute because of the steroidals they were entering into their bodies during that time. That has created a situation. What do you say?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Not in Maguire's case. Confirmed. The other two, allegedly, but assumed. that has created a situation where, right, many old heads and grumps, Roger Maris Jr. included, consider 61 to be the real home run record. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yes. I want to move Roger Maris Jr. aside because I think he's a separate part of this conversation. 61 as a record. 61, it is the American League record. I think that it is interesting, right? So much of it feels like the clamoring to do this is because we are able to say, oh, it's this American League record. Oh, but it's the real record, right? Like, would, like, if he was in the National League and he passed 61, I think people would still be saying the same thing just because they really, people really want a different person to be on top of that leaderboard, right? And so, but because we can say it's the American League, then we can really double down and say it's the real record. The thing that I am most interested in by just like last night and the last weeks as we've been waiting for Aaron Judge to hit 61 is that he's not at 62 yet. I'm pretty sure he's going to get to 62, right? I think he will get there.
Yeah.
But I truly am kind of surprised that like this has all been about 61 and getting there. And I know 61 years since 61 and Roger Maris Jr. has been there. We can get to that. But to me, Tim Mayza and all the pitchers that have been avoiding giving up 61, as soon as Judge hits 62, we're going to be seeing that home run way right. more in 30 years than 61, right? And if he doesn't, then of course, then Tim Mayza, you know, you're shit out of luck. But I would just say that it's, I've been surprised by how much of it is about the tying it. But, you know, I'm not saying it's not a big deal. I just think that I feel like the record-breaking one, 62, is the one that we're really looking for if you do believe that that is the new record. So I think that was interesting.
I think part of it is how relatively long he was stuck on 60, right? He hit 58, 59, 60, like within the span of three or four days or something. Mm-hmm. And so because we spent so much time on 61, it really allowed it or so much time on 60, it really allowed it to build in a way that I think heightened it in a silly way. Now, if Aaron Judge was like, let me think of an example. If this was Prince Fielder.
Right. Okay, this is what I was thinking too.
In 2011 on the Brewers hitting 62, it's a way less big deal.
Right,
and that's okay.
Or say it is an American leaguer. Let's say it's an American League guy, right?
Prince Fielder on the Tigers,
right? Okay,
but not Prince Fielder on the Rangers because that was sad.
No,
let's say it's an American leaguer. It's less of a big deal, and that's okay. I think yes, we want to roll our eyes at everything Yankee world related, but at the same time, it is 61 home runs, and it is cool, and there is meaning there. For Maris and that number and the stadium and the pinstripes and all of that stuff, it does hold some cachet. And I think that Judge being the guy to do it has heightened the entire experience of it, him being on the Yankees. And I think that's a good thing. That's fine. It's still not the record. And I think what I've been frustrated with online a little bit is like people being like, oh, well, 73 is the real record, right? And then other people being like, no, 61 is the real record. You can enjoy Judge doing this and breaking this very meaningful mark without being a schmuck about it not being 73. Like people tweeting, oh, well, he only needs 11 more or 12 more to catch Bonds. Like, yeah, of course he does. It's a different thing. Like we're not talking about that.
And here's the other thing. I am, this is even as you know, regular human beings, AKA a Yankee hater, like this is absolutely incredible. Like watching Judge's season has been amazing. And remember, you know, we're born in 1995. Do I remember Barry Bonds hitting 73 home runs? A little bit, but it's not like I remember watching him hit a home run every single night. Like that must have been so unbelievable in the way that watching Judge's season has been, right? Like I feel so lucky to have very much been conscious and working in baseball and watching baseball every night to watch Aaron Judge hit a home run except for last night. When we weren't watching, but like, that's the thing. It is it has felt special to watch Aaron Judge's season 100% and getting to 60, like 60 was like, when you see six next to a home run total, like that is when I just was like, oh my God, this is totally different. Right. You know, we saw Stanton and Bautista get into the 50s. You know, we've seen that before.
Prince.
You know, Ryan Howard, you know, 2006, I remember that season even more than 2001. Like, we've had these years, you know, even Pete and Judge has gotten to 50 before, right? But this is just, 60 is just so powerful, regardless of whether it's a real record or not. It is just such an unbelievable season, and that does not need to go away.
The American League record stuff is an excuse to celebrate it, right? And I think that's okay. The real record remains 73. I will briefly say I had a weak moment of like steroid holier than thou-ness, where I was like, man, all these guys like in the 90s and the early 2000s, like Bonds and McGuire, it's supposed to like, we've been defenders of them and mm-hmm. and like, but they did kind of create a shadow of doubt over the entire thing. Mm-hmm. That was my first, I had like a half moment of this while mm-hmm. I was showering the other day. And then, you know, I dried off and I was like, there would be a shadow of doubt anyway. Right. There was a shadow of doubt for Maris about the number of games when he broke Ruth's record. Right. There was a shadow of doubt when even Ruth did it. Right. Mm-hmm. Of like, who is this guy ruining baseball? And no matter what era you're in, there's always going to be a reason to doubt what you're seeing now is real. And like, I don't want to have to view what Judge is doing with skepticism mm-hmm. or like, I don't want to have the steroid era color my perception of the present. Like, I don't want to be the guy being like, is it real though? It's just a sad way to live. And I've just, whatever, man. It's all.
Yeah.
What's the last thing? And then we'll talk about Raj Jr. What Judge is doing in the era he's doing it in, regardless of steroids, is to me the most impressive thing, right? Mm-hmm. Even when Bonds hit 73, Sosa hit, I think, like 64, 66 or something.
Yep, 64.
64. Steroids, not steroids. The league environment at the time was obscene. It was silly. It was nuts. Judge is so much better than his peers right now. And yeah. that does deserve the accolades that he's getting, whether or not it's the real record.
Which, by the way, I was thinking about, like, if Judge had done this in 2017 when the ball was juiced more than we've ever seen, right? Like, that's another thing, right? I mean, obviously, we hope to think that steroids are not part of the game, but home runs are up, not as much this year, and so that's part of what makes this season so amazing. But, you know, there's all kinds of context. But I totally agree with you. Obviously, the pitching's better than ever and all kinds of things. And dominating and being, you know, 20 homers ahead of everyone else is amazing. All right.
But let's talk about the real star of last night, and that is yes. Roger Maris
yes.
Jr. And Jr., as he's known in baseball circles. When I say Jr., you think of Roger.
It's the first person you think of. Hey, let me get this out of the way first. Oh, Roger Maris Jr. believes that his dad has a real record. Yeah. Duh. It's
I would
dad.
Too.
That's fine. Like, fine. Like, obviously, if anyone is going to have that opinion and like go for it, it should be him. And the people dunking on him for saying that, like, obviously that is what he's going to believe. And that is totally fine. I don't care. Great. Okay. Let's move that aside.
Yeah.
like if your dad was Roger Maris, especially because again, like this is the thing. Roger Maris, he's not in the Hall of Fame, right?
No, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's not, right? He's because he had like the amazing peak and whatever. So it's like, this is his thing. He has it. Of course he can live. Okay, so let's move that aside. Let's just talk about what Roger Maris has been experiencing, what Roger Maris Jr. has been experiencing over the last 10 days, which is basically caravanning around, sitting in the front row with Aaron Judge's mom and waiting for Aaron Judge to hit home run, like all of us. It's been very funny to watch. It has been all kinds of questions, but it's like, oh, and look, let's be real though. All the jokes about, oh, well, how's he all these vacation days? Roger Maris Jr., I'm sure he's doing just fine. I'm sure that he is not losing out on big, you know, he's skipping work and he's losing, you know, paychecks. I think he'll be okay. I'm sure that he's gotten pretty. I also am pretty sure that if Roger Maris Jr. did work at a regular desk job and he was like, hey, so this guy's going to pass my super famous dad's home run record. So
I'm going to need a couple weeks.
I think they'll be like, that's fine, Roger Maris Jr., you go right ahead. So let's just get that out.
And it's not like his name is like Rod Maris either, right? That helps.
Yes. But the thing I always thought about is obviously he clearly, and you know, watching him be interviewed, like he was whatever, 3 when his dad did this, but like he does care, love baseball, blah, blah, blah. But I just think it's funny. Like, what if he didn't? What if he's just been miserable? Just like, oh God, like I have to be there. All right. All right, yeah, all right, here we go. These games take forever. All right, let's go, Commish. Let's speed.
You know
these
who
games
loves
up.
The pitch clock? Roger Maris Jr.
He would have liked it a lot sooner. But yeah, it's been very funny to watch him. A
couple things. He's not paying for any of this. The Yankees are absolutely footing the bill here, right? Like,
yes.
Raj, like, come on, man, come along. And I think that's good. You want to honor Roger Maris, who I think part of it, right, is Roger Maris died young of mm-hmm. cancer. I believe mm-hmm. in his early 50s. And so there is kind of a sense, and it's different for you and I who, you know, he died decades before you and I were born. But like, there is a sense of he should be alive right now, right? Like, or could be alive right now. And I think that that is notable. Oh, as to why Maris is, Jr. is following along. It's just been great having him there. Just the constant panning to him. He's getting fits off. I mean, he looked great last night in that button down. Him and Judge's mom, like, I love that they're becoming buddies. I hope they get coffee now every couple years. It's just been quite a journey. Also, shouts out to Raj Jr. for getting vaxxed. I mean, my man's in Toronto. Yes. He definitely got the shot.
Love to see that. Love to see that. And I also just think, too, back to the original Prince Fielder point, right? It's like, would he be around if someone else was chasing it? I don't think so.
If Miguel Sano had exactly become what he was supposed to be, Roger Maris Jr. is not in Minnesota in Target Field.
He would have like made a video, right? Like if he had passed it, they would have had him on the big screen saying, Congratulations, Miguel. Yeah, but there's no chance if this was not a Yankee that he would be going to every game. I think 0% chance. I truly believe that.
Now, last point, and not to be too cynical about it. One of the reasons I believe that Roger Maris Jr. is around town so much is that he does have a business here. I believe it's called 61 Outfitters.
And
the slant...
Which...
Go ahead.
The slant is basically,
my dad hit the home run record and I like hunting. And it's like hunting gear with 61s on it. I'm not joking. Like this is a real thing. Roger Maris
Jr.
No.
I know. And I'm laughing is you're doing his bidding. I mean, we're promoting 61.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
That's exactly what he wanted.
Yeah. Good for Roger Maris Jr. Everyone go out there, buy Roger. I've never hunted, but if I did, if I was in the woods,
home run hunting,
taking down elk or duck, I'd be rocking that Roger Maris 61 Outfitters hat, which is great. I love that this is also slightly a business opportunity. But to Roger Maris Jr.'s credit, he's not rocking any of his stuff on TV, which he easily could.
He could have just been decked out for every game just to make sure. It would be playing on loop forever. Oh, my God.
I'll say this. If I broke the home run record and Jake Mintz Jr. was gallivanting around America, you know, to watch Joey Gallo III break my record, I would want my son to be rocking whatever type of gear he wants. He could be like wearing like a Bet 365 hat or whatever. Like, deck yourself
out.
Sale.
You're just saying that he should be taking advantage of the screen time and just cashing in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, love that. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the other New York team. The other biggest story in baseball and probably the biggest story left in baseball.
Because it's been a dud. It's been a dud, I'll say it. New playoff structure sucks. We'll talk about it next week.
That's another conversation. We do have a spicy division race in the form of the Mets and the Braves, which will be this weekend, a three-game series in Atlanta at Truist Park. Now, here, let's say this before we get to the baseball. All the consternation over the past couple days about, this game's in Atlanta. They're going to get a bunch of rain because there's a hurricane. Hey, there's a hurricane. It's very serious. People's lives are being impacted in very serious ways. Let's not be online being complaining about how this is going to impact your team's ability to make the division. All right. Look, we all are very self-centered. We all care about what we care about, and I totally get that. But this feels like not the time to be complaining about that. And if the baseball games get impacted in some ways, so be it.
Oh, boo-hoo, you have to play a day-night doubleheader on Sunday? Well, people's houses are underwater. So let's just keep that
in mind. Okay, so now look, this is a baseball podcast. We're still going to talk about the baseball. I just want to remind people that they are much more serious. This is not like a situation where there was some other, you know, like, oh, Cirque du Soleil's in town and it's ruining the, you know, the scheduling for my team. Like, no.
It's not like the San Antonio Spurs rodeo trip, okay? This is a hurricane. The only people to blame here are... Here's a take. Major corporations and world leaders for global warming. If you want to send your
send them a message. I'm sure they'll read it. Okay, let's talk about the baseball. The point is, this series will happen in some capacity over the next week. And it's a good one because they're tied. And
no, they're not. First thing, they're not tied. They're not tied. I know tied. You didn't watch any baseball last night, Jordan.
Oh, right.
But the New York Mets won on a walk-off, and the Atlanta Braves lost on a walk-off. Pretty unacceptable loss for the Braves, getting down by the Nats. The Braves had a runner on third, one out in the top of the 10th, and Dansby Swanson got jammed by a Kyle Finnegan cutter, and he hit it to third base, and the run didn't score, and then C.J. Abrams hit a walk-off in the bottom, and the Braves lost. And then in Queens, Eduardo Escobar...
The Mets came back.
The Mets came back, down 4-0 late in the game. Eduardo Escobar, 5 RBIs in like the last 4 innings of the game. Awesome post-game interview. Truly the moment where I was like, oh, maybe the Mets won't totally fuck this up.
But I'm glad you phrase it like that, because I really do just want to hammer home that even if the Braves end up on top here, this is not because the Mets choke this away. Now, look, I know that, yes, if you just look at how the Mets have played over the last month relatively and some of the bad teams that they've lost to, you could frame it that way. But this has not felt like it. The Mets have convinced me that they are not the old Mets. Truly, I do believe that. And even if they lose in the postseason, like, this is a great, great, great team. And unfortunately, the Braves, the defending champs, who have added a bunch of new awesome pieces, are also great, 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 great. And so that's just the nature of a really good division race. And so if the Braves happen to catch them and beat them and then they win the series this weekend at home, that's because they're really good, and that's okay. And look, it's not fun for Mets fans. I know that they still want to win the division, and I totally get that. But I would still say that this has still been a successful season for the Mets, and it's been amazing to see them get back to this point. And just the fact that, yeah, it has been since 2016 that they've made the postseason is kind of wild. But yeah, this is they're a great team. So who do you? I mean, who do you actually think is better here? Forget about who ends up winning. I don't think it's really necessarily answering the same question of who's better, because again, what's going to happen in the next week is we'll just see. Do you actually have a feeling of which is the better baseball team here?
I think the Braves are better. And I think this is not fair, because both teams have had big chunks of their season without significant players, right? So like the Mets didn't have Scherzer and DeGrom for a big part of the season, right? And the Braves didn't have Acuna and didn't use Strider as a starter until like June 1st, I think.
And the Braves are missing Albies, right?
Albies. And the Braves are missing Albies, and like all that stuff matters. But for me, since Strider moved into the rotation, and I know he's out right now, the Braves are kind of a more complete team. And I think their pitching does match up with the Mets. Like, it sounds absurd, but Fried, Wright, Strider versus DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett. Like, that's... I know Scherzer and DeGrom are great. I'm not denying that.
And they're better, right. Yeah. They're definitely better. It's way closer.
It's way closer than you realize. And DeGrom, because he's been on a relatively short inning leash, that's kind of been a factor there. And him and Scherzer are, you know, they've been hurt a lot. In a 5-game set, I would still probably take the Mets' arms, but it's really close. And closer than you would realize, because in our minds, still, Kyle Wright is like the last guy on the postseason roster in 2021, but he's been a top 15 starter in baseball this year.
Yeah, and I would say that Wright and Strider's emergence has kind of covered up for a minor step back from Charlie Morton. I think we finally started to see his NA is still striking out a lot of guys, but I would have to say that he doesn't look quite as dominant. Now, maybe in postseason, you know, he's been so amazing in the postseason. So
I would recommend not breaking his leg this year, though.
Yes, yeah, because that was totally his fault. He broke his leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like he might be the game 4 starter. That's a pretty good place to be, right? I mean, that's probably better than what the Mets have, right, in terms of game 3 and 4 starters. So
yeah.
But again, we're not talking about them playing 5-game series. It's just like who do we trust? And yeah, it's really close. I mean, the other thing with the Mets is, I mean, they have 2 MVP candidates in Lindor and Alonso. And I know people laugh like, oh, you know, John Heyman tweeted like Pete Alonso MVP. It's like, first of all, 40 years ago, Pete Alonso would be the MVP because he has 40 home runs and 131 RBIs on a team in first place. So that's basically automatic first place MVP. We would be talking about him and Goldschmidt. But Pete's season has been excellent, and we should not overlook that. Lindor has obviously bounced back in a big way offensively this year. But it's a really complete lineup, and Escobar's been one of the best players in baseball this month. Escobar season, I would say. Would you say has probably? I would say
it's. I have to ask Nah, Big Nah.
Okay, we'll check in with him. Now the Marte injury is also concerning. Him not really playing like that is that if Marte was full strength, I would kind of feel better about the Mets overall offensive contingency.
Hole right now is
yeah that part's not great either. But still, I actually still lean that the Mets are slightly better. Now the one thing is not about like the Mets are good, but like they are not as used to this setup, right? Scherzer is obviously very familiar with the stage, and Lindor, I guess you could say to some degree, but the rest of them not quite as much, right? And so because of that. I think the Braves are certainly in a much better position to ease into the postseason more comfortably. Now, that said, you know, again, Michael Harris, whatever, and Strider and some of these new guys, but they seem pretty comfortable. I'm not too worried about their talent, you know, going a little bit lower in the postseason. So I'm excited for this. Anything else on Mets Braves?
I just won a 5-game set. I think it'll be reminiscent of the Dodgers Giants NLDS last year. Mm-hmm. Where it was like, okay, these are the two teams. Mm-hmm. Like, these are the teams. Now, the Dodgers warp our perception of a good baseball team and what that looks like. The Mets and the Braves are outstanding, and the Dodgers are just, like, won 107 games and, like, ruined
our perception. The Mets, Braves run differential plus 179. Mets run differential plus 156, you know, one game apart. Amazing seasons, right? And I believe those are behind Houston and the Yankees, right? Those are the fourth and fifth. The Dodgers are at plus 322. Okay, they're like more than double where the Mets are at. Okay, like it is completely ridiculous. Okay, so that's that. But Mets Rays, we are very excited about it. And I hope they get the games in. Of course, it's I am curious how if anything does happen with the scheduling, but like it's not the biggest concern.
If they had come into this tied, I would have taken the Braves, but the Mets winning last night is a big deal because the Braves, I believe, need to take all three to have the tiebreaker mm-hmm. over them. And right. So if the Mets take two of three, they leave. Or sorry, even if the Braves take two of three, they leave tied, but the Mets still control their own destiny because they have the tiebreaker. So they're basically, right now, they're basically two games up, mm-hmm. right? That's the difference for me. And I don't like that there's no tiebreaker this year. Again, we'll talk about this next week about the new structure. But yeah, I'm excited to sit down this weekend and do nothing but watch the Mets play the Braves.
Let's take a break
here. We will be back in a jiffy to discuss the Orioles and the Mariners, our favorite baseball teams. People have been clamoring for this and you'll hear it in a quick sec.
This is Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum and host of Black Diamonds, a SiriusXM original podcast. This week, we're telling the story of a man who lived a life. The man who broke the color barrier for the New York Yankees in 1955 and resides forever in Monument Park, the great Elston Howard. That's all this week on an all-new Black Diamonds, available now on the SXM app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here on Baseball Barbacast. Jake Mintz, Jordan Schusterman. Hey. We each like a baseball team. I like the Orioles. Jordan likes the Mariners. And somehow, they are relevant this year, the both of them. Where are we at right now, Jordan?
A year ago, let's just remind everyone, a year ago, the Mariners were trying to make a miracle postseason push as the Orioles were the worst team in baseball. And the Mariners were rooting for the Orioles because they needed them to beat the Red Sox and give the Mariners life for the last weekend of the season. Fast forward to now, the Mariners, of course, did not make it last year.
Though the Orioles came through.
The Orioles came through. The Orioles did their job. The Nationals did not. the Mariners came up short last year. Now, last year's Mariners team was not actually good. This year's Mariners team is actually good. But we came into this year thinking the Orioles would hopefully be taking a moderate step forward and the Mariners would hopefully be pushing for the postseason. Instead, the Mariners are pushing for the postseason and the Orioles have made like a 25-win jump or whatever from last year and are still mathematically alive as we record this on September 29th, which is absolutely crazy. Which this year, it was funny, I was thinking this week, I found myself rooting for the Red Sox to beat the Orioles, the last place Red Sox to beat the Orioles so that the Mariners can stay alive. Now, the people wondering, oh, is this breaking you guys? Oh, is this going to... No, because the truth is, the fact that the Mariners and Orioles are fighting for a postseason spot in 2022 is an amazing, wonderful thing. It is obviously a win-win, and I'd much rather the Orioles be chasing them than the Twins or the White Sox or, you know, whoever. That said... I will enjoy it much more in future seasons once this drought is over. And I hope that the Mariners can officially clutch it. And I will be flying to Seattle literally later today to watch them this weekend, a trip I planned about a month ago, hoping to see them clinch. And it's looking quite nicely that I will be able to do that. So I'm very excited about that. But Jake, regardless of the Mariners situation, how have you felt about this Orioles season since it looks like they will be eliminated here in the next couple of days?
Maybe this is like loser mentality. It's never been about making the playoffs. There was maybe like 2 days where I thought it was a real possibility. I would say, I think they were like a couple games back before they had a big Blue Jays series where they lost in Toronto. And then this past week heading into Saturday where the Orioles had cut the lead down, I believe, to 2.5 games, maybe 3.5 games. And we're up on the Astros and the Mariners were losing to the Royals. And then the Mariners came back and the Orioles coughed up the lead to the Astros. And so just to see competitive, meaningful, energetic, purposeful, quality baseball in Camden Yards has been enough. There are certain parts about the Orioles season that are unfortunate. Trading away Trey Mancini and Jorge Lopez. Not calling up Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman as quick as I could, not trading for anyone at the deadline. There are probably like 2 or 3 wins to be found in those obvious decisions. That being said, the same front office that put this team in a position to be this close this late into the year, like they got this team there and it's hard to really raise a stink about that. And I'm not going to, beggars can't be choosers.
And the future is so bright. And honestly, like I hope, and I do believe, easy to say this now, hopefully the Mariners will make the postseason this year and the drought. And next year, when the Orioles can really start, you know, putting it into gear and like actually really in full-fledged, we can believe that we are going to try to win, then they can be duking it out and it's not like at the expense of the Mariners and it's just like a fun, you know, thing that we can both enjoy fully.
And there's no, yeah. Like... I have not, I think the only game I rooted for the Mariners to lose was on Saturday. yes. And other than that, it's been fun.
Which like is fine. You should. It's like we want our own teams to win, of course, and but that's not, yeah.
The Mariners are better also, yeah. Right? It's not, I'm not a dumbass. Like I watch these games and like, yeah. I want you to be happy. I like you, Jordan. People who root against their friends' sports teams, come on. Don't you want to see the people around you have joy? Like
also, yeah. Granted, like the context here of both of our teams being so crappy for the last few years has really made it a lot more easy for both of us to enjoy correct. Each other's successes. But that is that is maybe that's not as spicy as some people were hoping. And I guess mathematically it could still swing. And on Monday, this could be a very different conversation. But I believe when we talk next week, Mariners will be in the postseason, and that'll be its own separate fun conversation.
I am very excited for you, Jordan, because your Mariners fandom and how it kind of was born, staying up late in high school, watching Justin Smoke suck, like you have earned this moment. Even as a non-Seattleite, you have embraced this team despite their ineptitude, and I genuinely hope that you, as a loyal fan, who suffered through the dark times, get to see the emergence from the tunnel into the light this weekend.
Yes.
Going somewhere alone. Like this is, I took a similar trip in 2014 where I went to Kansas City to see the Orioles get swept in the ALCS. Mm-hmm. And it was a very meaningful moment for me. And I hope that you have a more joyful version of that.
Yes, yes. I hope so, too. So if you're listening and you're going to be in Seattle at any of the Mariners games this weekend, let me know. Maybe we can hang out because Jake won't be there and I don't have anyone else coming with me. So that will be a good time. Looking forward to that. Jake, let's move to our next segment. And an introduction to a new segment. Now, by the way, people who listen to Baseball Barbecue wondering, oh, what about these segments? Some of them may come back, some of them may not. But for this week, for our first episode, we wanted to bring you something new. And that is our first segment known as Backpage Barbacast. Jake, what is Backpage Barbacast?
You know, living and working in New York, you take a look at the back page of the local bloids, known to you people as tabloids. But cool people like me call them the bloids. And you see, you know, spicy headlines, like, attention grabbing. And we want to bring that same kind of energy here. So every week we'll role play, you know, some big news around baseball where I will be the person coming up with the headline at the newspaper and Jordan will be my boss.
And I will say, no, that sucks. Or brilliant. This bloid is going to crush. It'll be impossible to resist picking this up because of this great headline. And our topic this week is one Tony La Russa, who is just, it seems, it hasn't been officially announced by the White Sox, although it seems to be, say, reported that he will not be returning next year for probably both health reasons and the fact that the White Sox have been one of the most disappointing teams in 2022 by far. They might not even finish above 500. They're currently three games under, one of the biggest disasters this year. And he is at least some portion part of it. Now, he has, of course, not been around for the 8-game losing streak they are currently on. But Jake, you have been tasked with coming up with a headline for, I guess, what we'll call the end of the Tony La Russa era for the Chicago White Sox. So what do you got?
La Lusa. Tony's Sox tenure ends in shambles. La Lusa.
Okay, this is good. I was thinking we would go somewhere with, how can we work in loser? I was going to be like La Russa the Lusa or something like that.
That sounds like a John Sterling call.
I love it. So it's La Lusa? How is that spelled?
L-O. I think I also
like,
go la,
it's like the loser, right?
La Loser. Tony Sox tenure ends in shambles. And the other one would be Phony Tony.
Phony, but see, here's the thing. Tony La Russa is not a phony. He is a lot of things. I don't think that is the word I would use to describe him. Very good. I was wondering if you were going to go somewhere along the lines, some sort of play on Old Man Yells at Cloud. But I don't know. You know, there's a lot of different ways we could go with that. But I love this. La Lusa, Tony's Sox tenure ends in shambles.
La Lusa. La Lusa.
What was it earlier this season with the, what was the fan yelling at him?
Oh, to pinch run.
No. Oh, to pinch run. Oh, I was thinking also the intentional walk where they were like, he has two strikes, Tony, what are you doing? But anyway, it was eventful. It was disappointing. He made you bike across the country. And for that, I am actually thankful of Tony La Russa because that was a great trip.
When baseball teams do stuff, I generally give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that makes me a dummy, but I find that they are operating with more information than we are 99% of the time. And so, like, criticizing a team for a particular decision is valid and, like, a big part of our jobs as people who discuss baseball. But when I go to bed at night, I'm like, you know what? Maybe they know what they were doing. Example, Harrison Bader for Jordan Montgomery. Okay. I thought it was stupid. And then Jordan Montgomery was incredible. And I thought it was even dumber. And after watching Harrison Bader for like 2 minutes, I was like, oh, okay, whatever. I see what Brian Cashman is doing, right? That being said, when the White Sox hired Tony La Russa and everyone, me and all the homies hated on this hire, and we were so right. Because this ended and transpired exactly how everyone said it would, right?
Yep.
In year one, the team was too talented for La Russa to mess it up, right? And in year two, it was such a freaking unmitigated disaster that everything fell apart. Now, is it all Tony's fault? No. The roster construction was a problem. The second line of players, you know, dudes underwhelmed, like our friend Lucas Giolito. You know, I get that. That's true, right? Luis Robert was merely good instead of an all-star.
Moncada was horrible for 4 months, right?
I mean, right. Not all of Tim that Anderson can be put on Tony. But the 2021 Giants were an example that coaches who know what they're doing are able to get the most out of players. You spend time around the Braves. You spend time around the Dodgers and the Mets this year. And the Yankees. There is so much consideration into helping players improve and getting the most out of them. And that's a big deal in terms of liking where you work and putting your best foot forward at your job. And La Russa was the opposite of that every step of the way, right? And in a way that was entirely predictable and embarrassing and legitimately sets the White Sox franchise back a lot. And I am sorry for fans of that team, and I hope that they can recover when Paul Konerko is named manager in 3 months.
I mean, here's the thing. They could still win the division next year. Because they still have a lot of talent, and they still, like, a lot of it's still young, and they're under team control. Like, it's just, it's not like, this is a problem. This is not a bad team. But boy, have they played like it. All right. Let's move on to our first ever email segment.
Jordan, would you say that we're in our bag?
We're in our inbox, I'd say. BaseballBarbacast, BARBcast at gmail.com is where you can email us. We will read one a week. We got a lot, some great emails, and we might save some of these for future weeks, off-season, whatever. So keep them coming. We appreciate it. The one we are going to talk about this week comes from Mason. Mason says, go ahead, Jake. I know you like to read the emails.
The subject of this email is Yoenis, so hell yeah. Over under 9.5 dingers for Yoenis in the Dominican Winter League. Also, does he stay true to his words from 2014 when he said he'd like to come back and finish his career in Oakland? One can only hope. Best, Mason. So for those of you who don't know, Yoenis Cespedes, the one and only, is playing winter ball this year in the Dominican for Águilas Cibaeñas, where he played before he played in MLB. He is in his late 30s now. He has not seen live professional pitching since August of 2020. But yet he's giving it a go down in the Dominican. Over under 9.5 dingers. That is a great question. I would hammer the under like nobody's business because hitting homers in that league is very hard. Only a couple people even get to 10 in a given year.
Does anybody? I'm looking at last year what the leader was. The leader in homers last year. No, that can't be right. That's got to be I'm looking at the postseason. It's basically impossible. Marcelo Zuna played last year and was dominant. And I think he got to like 8. So if Yoenis hits 10 home runs, we are going to be going nuts.
Now,
if he hits 5 home runs, we are going to be going nuts.
If he hits 1, I'm going to be stoked. Like, this is the same as his performance in the 2020 Mets. Just show up, give me a couple highlights, and everyone's happy. Now, I will say this. Second part of the question. Coming back and finishing his career in Oakland. Still improbable for the reason I mentioned before, a.k.a. he hasn't seen live pitching in more than 2 years. But the combination of him playing this offseason and the A's absolutely sucking eggs does somewhat open the door and universal DH, which means, you know, more jobs, even though the A's are in the American League, whatever, does open the door just a crack. Just a crack. If Yoenis hits over 9.5 homers, I think the A's would give him a spring training invite.
I hope we get another just like, he's working out for scouts in March, right? That would be wonderful because he has never obviously not announced his retirement at any point. We last saw him disappearing in August 2020. Was it July? I don't know, really early. And I'm just super excited to watch him. I think he will play. I'm curious if he's going to play outfield or if he's going to be DHing for them. But yeah, I mean, it's been a while. We're just excited to watch him play baseball again. And if he goes to Oakland, that would be absolutely tremendous.
The Yoenis Juan Lagares outfield combo for Aguilas is going to send 2020
Robles
and Robles 2017 Mets fans into oblivion.
We're going to have a lot. In the last few years, Peter O'Brien, who had like one of the best seasons 18? Ever a few years ago, it was 9 in the regular season. I think he might have gotten to like 12 or 11. So yeah, 10 is it. The point is, Mason, 10 is not happening, but boy, would it be cool. All right. Okay, let's move on to our final part of this inaugural Barbacast. Oh, man. Jake, here we are. We're still podcasting. They haven't kicked us off yet. This is amazing. I can't believe it. I've conditioned myself to believe that I was actually not meant to be podcasting about baseball. But here we are, and we are here now to discuss where the heck we've been. Because if you've been listening to this whole episode, and you listen to this first episode, there's a decent chance you're probably wondering, what in the world took so long? Now listen, we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty details because that's not for public consumption. But the point is...
But if you run into me in public and buy me a beer, I will talk shit.
The point is...
I did it at synagogue this past week. I ran into someone and they were good. Like, what happened?
A great place on Rosh Hashanah. What a great place to talk some shit. Sneak that in.
Well, it's the perfect time. You got... I know. I get you to tone next week.
I was going to say, it's perfect timing. So as you know, we had a podcast, The Ringer. We had a wonderful producer named Bobby Wagner. We had a great time producing the podcast, making the podcast with Bobby Wagner. If you might recall, if you're a baseball fan, there was something called the lockout that happened last offseason. I know we're all trying to forget that ever happened.
It's when you forget your keys in your apartment.
Yes. And so we had planned to, you know, we had our pod with The Ringer. We did it last season. We were going to do it all offseason. And then we were going to figure out maybe for this season if we would go somewhere else, whatever, because our contract was up. But when the lockout came, we were told, actually, you're not going to be podcasting.
We got locked out, too.
We got locked out, too, from podcasting. Even though lockout, I mean, we would have had all kinds of fun doing lockout content. But instead, we were like, oh, we can't do podcasts. We said, oh, that sucks. And really is weird. And by the time lockout ended, our contract was over, and so we were no longer with The Ringer. And that was disappointing because then we were just gone, and then it was almost opening day. And then it was like, now what? What are we going to do here?
And then we had to like do our real job, but like this is also our real job, but we had to do our other job with Fox writing all the time.
Exactly. And so we were just like, we wanted to find a place for our podcast that we felt was a real home that we could build it up and we could have a real, you know, a cool place. We did not want to recklessly launch one, just go rogue and do one before opening day. And so we kind of put it off and we were like, we'll just do college baseball podcast. We did that with D1 pod. You know, we do our D3 podcast because we're crazy. And then the season was halfway over and we still didn't have a Major League Baseball podcast. And then we just kind of were like, well, this is unfortunate, but we better figure something out because there's no college baseball to talk about. So that's when we got connected with the folks at SiriusXM. And then after weeks of waiting, probably longer than it needed to be, we managed to put this together.
Just
in time. Was it the plan? So, but again, this is what I'm saying again. The people that are like, oh, wow, genius. They'll do it right when the... No. This was not. We wish we were back a long time ago. But we appreciate everyone's patience very much because we have obviously missed doing this and we're excited to be back. Now, the other important thing we must address is that Bobby Wagner is no longer here because Bobby Wagner is still making podcasts. So The Ringer, good for him. We love Bobby.
To be clear, our relationship with Bobby is great. I called Bobby last night.
Bobby came
to my birthday party. Okay. We're everything. Jake, Jordan, Bobby, there's love. There's nothing but love. Now, that being said, Bobby's not producing this podcast. Who is producing this podcast? There is a new Bobby, everyone.
Oh,
now,
yes.
New Bobby has a name. Chris. Chris Tyler, a.k.a. Kangaroo Jacked. Please say hello to the masses.
That's former left fielder for the Research Lower Plenty Baseball Club's fourth team, Chris Tyler. Thank you very much.
Whoa. He's,
please,
he's dropping
my
his
official title.
On us.
Let's get now, it out there. Off for the top.
Those of you listening now understand why I referred to him as Kangaroo Jacked. And that is because Chris, he is a nice guy, yes, but he's also Australian. And, yes. You know, for dumb people like us, that is the headline.
And, like, think about it this way. He knew who Timmy Trumpet was before 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah. I only knew like one or two songs before that one, and I actually didn't know Narcos before I saw the Diaz walkout. So I'll admit that.
You still knew more than
but
the rest
I still
of
knew
us.
Him, and I've seen, you know, highlights from sets and things like that. But I did have an active knowledge of Timmy Trumpet prior to that whole
incredible.
Thing.
Amazing.
Now, Chris, so, Chris will be hopping on from time to time, offering his Australian insight and charm. But we should note that Jordan and Chris have known each other for years, and that Chris coming to work on this show is a very bizarre case of serendipity that I would like you to explain.
Yes, well, as you know, anyone that's just moved to New York City after college, you know, you don't necessarily always have a plan for housing. And sometimes you end up on a good thing called Craigslist. And
named after our friend Craig Goldstein.
Named after our friend Craig Goldstein. And we just say, and it's like, hey, well, I got to find something cheap where I want to live. And if I end up with weird roommates, so be it. And so I ended up in a place in Bushwick. And shortly after, so did Chris. And it was the same place. It was not somewhere where we expected. We did not know each other. But yes, Chris and I lived in the same apartment for about 5 months, 6 months, I believe.
Maybe just a tick over six months.
And we got along, right? This wasn't a situation where when I found out Chris was going to be a producer, I was like, oh, that's awkward. That guy sucked.
Man, that guy never cleaned the dishes.
Always walked around topless.
he was just a menace. But no, we were buds. And Chris,
we watched the Super Bowl together.
We watched Super Bowl together.
I can't remember how much baseball. Did we watch any baseball together? You were probably on the phone
That's
with Jake,
thing.
I think, every night. Watching baseball.
Well, and most of it was more in the off season, I would say. We didn't cover it as much of the summer. So
we might have overlapped at the start of the 2018
season.
Yeah,
it would have been the 17 postseason. It would have been the 17.
You're right, yeah.
But the point is that this is a hilarious reunion for Chris and I. But I do know that Chris is a great baseball fan too. And that's just the other thing that we want to establish, because everyone that listened to our old podcast knows Bobby's a Mets fan. And there's a great chance we will have Bobby on at some point to talk about the Mets in the next month. Very, very, very likely. But Chris, we wanted to, as you just started to establish your baseball credentials, we just wanted to for people to know, what is your baseball fandom and the three baseball things that are most important to you, so that people can get familiar with you. Because they know us, they know our deal. But just so that they can know what to expect when we're calling on you on the podcast.
Yeah, so I'm a San Francisco Giants fan. And this stems back, and this will be one of the three baseball things that I care about. This stems back to 2010, I think it was. So I didn't watch a lot of baseball growing up. For the first 20 years of my life, hardly watched any. We didn't have cable. I didn't have access to baseball. There was no physical way for me to watch baseball until I was 20. Then we got cable, and that opened up a world of possibilities for me. It was the most exciting thing of my life. And we were
Dude, Cinemax, am I right?
Exactly. So we were on a family vacation, and everyone went to bed relatively early. I was sleeping on the couch. There was nothing on TV.
Cinemax, am I right?
Exactly. I found a baseball game, and the Giants were playing, and big time Timmy Jim, Tim Lincecum, was pitching. And in that instant, I fell in love with the game of baseball because of him. I don't know exactly what it was, just his pitching style, his technique, his hair, it all drew me in. And I fell in love with baseball and haven't looked back since. So that is why I'm a Giants fan. That is the biggest thing that I love about baseball, is Tim Lincecum. And that hair, that fall off was unfortunately pretty quick. Like, it was only good for another few years after that. Like, it spiraled really quick. But, you know, still had some success as an overall Giants team. It's been a good 10 years or so.
Well, exactly. And so even it's funny, right? Because one of the tragedies, right, of Tim Lincecum is that he really was only good for the very beginning of the Giants being good.
Yeah, then Bumgarner sort of replaced him as that ace, and
right,
that was a lot of fun.
But to your point, like, it's so how convenient and wonderful that he was your entry into baseball, into your favorite team that would then go on to win three World Series. Like, that is incredible. And Lincecum is the perfect kind of guy that we can appreciate, you know, falling in love with baseball for.
Exactly.
Best gateway drug ever.
Really was. And so I went to the States a couple of years after that, in fact, it was probably the year after that. It was probably like 2011 maybe. And I wanted to watch Tim Lincecum pitch, so I went up to San Fran for a couple of days, missed out on him, but saw Matt Cain and saw Bumgarner before he was really Bumgarner. And so I never got to actually watch my guy pitch live, which was a bit of a bummer, but still had a couple of wins. Actually, one of those games I should mention was the game that spawned the Buster Posey rule. Where Buster Posey broke his leg at home plate, I was at that game.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so that's a great moment.
I think that was
history.
The first MLB game that I ever attended. It was either the first or the second. I can't remember which one it came. But yeah.
You're like, this is just like the AFL. This is amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, guys running into each other.
Yeah.
That is an amazing fun fact. So we asked you, so is Tim Lincecum, I assume, is the one baseball thing you care about the most?
Yes.
What are the other two? Just so people can be familiar.
The second one is the pursuit of a perfect game, right? I love pitching duels. I love clean first innings. I love everything like that. And that's all, obviously it's tough because we haven't had a perfect game for many, many, many years, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. They're not keeping pitchers in for, look at that.
Thanks to Mr. Felix Hernandez. Exactly. This is good. It's almost the opposite of what I care about, which is that no one ever throws a perfect game again.
Yeah, exactly. I love that pursuit. I love following a perfect game, like following someone through 4, 5, 6 innings and they've got that perfect game going. I know it's not going to happen, but every single baseball game I go to or every single baseball game I watch, I get really pissed off if, you know, they give up a hit for the second guy up, all that sort of stuff.
That's a good one.
Because you've never seen a perfect game as a baseball fan. Like, you've never interacted with it as a baseball fan.
No,
right? Because,
correct.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, okay, so what's the third thing?
The third one, and this is very important to me as well, because this did change my life. It's City Field fried Oreos.
Wow. Amazing answer.
I had never had fried Oreos before. In fact, they sounded disgusting to me. I didn't want to. I had no interest in trying them. But we went to City Field once, and my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, got some for us, and she said, just try it. And I'm like, no way, I want to give this a go. This looks disgusting. I don't think it'll be any good. I haven't really had any, like, desserty, like, sweets fried,
just
right?
Disgusting American.
Yeah, exactly.
Food, right? Yeah.
But then when I bit into that bad boy, oh my goodness.
So I love that this is your third answer. One, because I didn't even know they had them at Citi Field, but I do, like, fried Oreos are essentially one of the most just quintessential American disgusting food. I know Jake hates it. I'm very aware that this is like totally opposed to everything Jake would ever put in his body. But
might be the one food I would not want to eat.
Really? That's how I thought I was going to be. Really genuinely thought that.
I was once in Australia and I had, every weird rodent people have down there. Crocodile, kangaroo.
Kangaroo is delicious, to be fair.
It is good.
Yeah.
I'll eat anything, but fried Oreos are not for me. So, Chris, I'm glad that we can embrace debate here.
Yeah.
Amazing. Wow. Well, I guess you won't be sharing a fried Oreo at Citi Field, but I would happily do it. I've only had it at, like, state fairs and stuff. I've never had it at a baseball game, but I will happily join you in that venture. That is a great answer. Big time, Timmy Jim. Pursuits of perfect games and fried Oreos. You will fit in just fine, Chris Tyler. It is a pleasure to have you here as our producer. That is just about going to do it for this first episode since we went. Now, I will also say, we hope these episodes will not be over an hour every week. We would like them to be a little bit more.
No, they will. They will be shorter. This one will be like around an hour 10, but we had to introduce ourselves. We will be briefer and shorter, staying under an hour. We will be going twice a week. The next one will come out on Monday. Make sure you email us at baseballbarbacast@gmail.com. We are so genuinely joyed to be back. Like, it's just great. And thank you all for your support and your vibes.
Also, thank you to Chris for producing. We're excited to be part of the SiriusXM family. And while I joke that, no, it was not the plan to come back during the postseason, it is pretty cool to show up and all the games immediately mean a lot. we don't have to slog through random stuff in May that definitely means less than we think it does. And for that, we are so excited to be here, and we will talk to you on Monday.
SiriusXM podcasts.